Christmas. Well, that was kind of okay. Merry Christmas. There we go. All excited about Christmas Eve, candlelight, and tomorrow for sure, Christmas morning as we hail the newborn King. Glad that you're here. Welcome to the way for Christmas Eve, an exciting night. And just know that the Lord's going to show up in your life and the Holy Spirit's going to minister to us. And here at the way, we believe Jesus is the only way. And as he comes to us through the baby in the manger, still alive and well, Emmanuel, God with us. The only thing for me tonight is just to welcome you and to thank you. I'm going to ask the kids to come up that are going to do their scripture reading that Morgan's got all planned out. And then Mike and Kathy Smith are going to come light our Christ candle tonight as we celebrate all the things that we've been waiting for. You see, the four candles are already lit. That means our Advent, our waiting is over. But for tonight, we celebrate the newborn King as we light the Christ candle and hear of the birth of Jesus Christ.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to their own town to register.
So as Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee of Judea to Bethlehem, in the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David, he went there to register with Mary, who pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of God shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and laying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
Praising and glorifying God is what the shepherds did. Let's do that. Let's stand with all your heart, all your might, all your soul. Let's give worship to the one true King, the one that is faithful, the one that is true. Thank you, God, that we can confidently give you glory as God in the highest. It's not a metaphor. It's not a philosophical thought. It is the reality of those who have the faith and belief in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that nothing comes before Him. That's why we proclaim that every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess. Maybe not in this very moment today, but they will. Because we continue to proclaim Jesus Christ is Lord. Emmanuel, God with us. So Lord, as we proclaim it tonight, Lord, as we believe in it, as we claim it for ourselves, but we proclaim it over others, maybe in our family, might be a friend, might be somebody that we don't care for necessarily, but today we proclaim it and we speak it over their lives, that God, you are in the highest. You are the ultimate. And Father, that you will reign forever. So Lord, tonight, I just pray that that would just be supernaturally bound to our hearts. Lord, that you would just allow it to grow inside of us. Lord, to push out doubts. Lord, push out fears. Lord, push out any anxiety about the future, that you, Lord, will be there with us. You have already gone before us. You know that we are going to be okay, that our children are going to be okay, our marriages, as long as we will follow you, Jesus Christ, and no other. Lord, I proclaim it tonight for all of us in the name of Jesus Christ. And all the people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hey, we're going to do our offering tonight. And as we do, we're still raising money for water buckets as we kind of continually do throughout the year. But for us tonight, we do it especially to try to raise money for a few of these. And so as we do that, surprise, nobody really volunteered, so I'm going to pick on somebody who actually asked a volunteer to do something, but I didn't get to let him. And so I'm going to call a couple. So Chase Bridges, are you still here? Or did you run? There he is. Yeah, you might have, should have. So these water buckets, these filters, come on up. I got to think through this. So this bucket will do 1 million gallons of water through the life of this little filter right here. This little filter was created not for this purpose, but for kidney dialysis, and then they modified it to work for water. And as it, you want to hold that down right there and let the gravity fill that up. And as it filters down through there, it comes out clean, without disease, without all the impurities. You can see how wonderful that is, but also how clean it's coming out right there. And so for about $75, we send these around the world. You can look on our website. There's a map under missions that shows where these go. They're actually, not this one in particular, but they're all geotagged. And so we know exactly which ones we bought and exactly where they go and the families they reach. There's a story associated with each family and how they are ministered to, their children, their families, all of that. And also, here's what the greatest thing is they don't get one. You talk about pastoral guilt. Oh yeah, there's one right there, thanks. They don't get one unless they allow the missionary that brings it to speak to them about Jesus, and then they get 3 follow-up visits, and then they get monthly and annually follow-up visits for a while. And so this is where we've done it around the world. And so, Chase, here's the deal. Here, let me see that right there. I'm going to drink this, and you're going to drink out of that. How's that? No, I'm just kidding. So there's the clean water. How's it taste? Yep, just like everything else. Refreshing. That needs to be the motto, refreshing like Jesus. Yeah, exactly. So, you can give online. You can finish that and you can be done. Thanks. Appreciate you. You can take it with you. You can give online. There are boxes outside that you can give to, or when you come up for communion, if you want to leave it on the stage, we'll collect that and we'll take it up. But I want to pray over the offering. Pray over your money, not just for this offering, but for your finances as well. Lord God, as we give to your ministry, Lord, it's really not about the clean water. Even though we want to make people's lives better, Father, we want to make it better through our relationships with them and through the relationships that we have with you, showing them your love and your grace and your mercy. Lord, let this water, this clean water, be an avenue to salvation for these families. Lord, let this water be an avenue of love and of grace and of mercy that maybe nobody has ever shown them before. Lord, let this water be an avenue of freedom, of freedom. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So we've talked all month long as we talked about Advent that joy is here, and that's what I want to remind you of tonight, that joy is here with us. And with that, there's the whole idea of really discovering that joy. Now, for a lot of us, we think we have already discovered joy because we know who Jesus is, but I know some of you, and you know me, and we're not always joyful. And why is that? Well, I believe that it's because we don't realize the joy that we have. We don't recognize the joy that's right in front of us. We take it for granted in a lot of different ways. So back in 2017, a young man who was a violin prodigy, he did a social experiment that we would call it today. I don't know what they called it then, but what we would call a social experiment. He dressed up as a street musician. He went into the subway systems of Washington, D.C., and he played his violin. He played for 43 minutes of some of the most complicated, most intricate music, classical music ever written by some of the greatest artists like Bach and Beethoven and some I'd never even heard of. And in that 43 minutes, thousands of people went by him. Seven stopped and listened for some given amount of time. And then others put a little bit of change in his open violin case, and that amounted to some $32.17. Now, it doesn't really matter about that. And some of you may have heard about it 17 years ago or back in 2017. But the very fact is, this performer was none other than the famous violinist, Joshua Bell. And some of you may have never heard of him even. Joshua Bell is sought after all over the world. He sells out concert halls and cathedrals, the National Cathedral in the United States, Europe. He's been asked to play foreign dignitaries all over the world. That $32.17, when I say that was not even a drop in the bucket, well, that's because he plays a $14 million, 300-year-old Stradivarius violin. Crazy. And why does this un-Christmas story matter on Christmas Eve? Because it proves that context, right? Context really does affect perception. Because you take Joshua Bell out of the cathedral and put him in a hat and a t-shirt and put him in the subway system and people don't recognize him, right? And so what Joshua Bell set out to prove for himself was that hearing is not listening, right? And looking is not seeing. People pass by him, and you know there are at least one or two that maybe knew who he was, maybe heard of him, or maybe recognized some song he was playing, but yet they didn't really recognize him, and they didn't really know the music that he was playing. Sounds like a Christmas story, because we know that Christ came in a way that nobody ever expected. He came in a way that we would not have planned and that the world was not looking for. The unexpected came as they were really expecting the Messiah, but yet they missed him. Why is that? See, the history of the birth of Christ was out of context, and so they missed it by their own perception because they wanted a warrior Messiah, not a suffering servant. They wanted someone different than what they or who they believed showed up in their lives. Isaiah 7:14, the prophecy even reads, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and she will name him Emmanuel." Emmanuel means God with us. That is how we really discover who Jesus is. It's God with us. And that idea of discovering Jesus is, do you see what I see in Jesus? Do you see what I see with God with us? because I need you to see what I see, and I need, when you see him, I need to see it too. We need to share that it's true that God came through Jesus, but as he revealed himself through Jesus, people missed the miracle because he was out of context. They missed the greatest miracle of all time because their journey of faith was not one where they recognized the miracles of faith around them. So for us, we're all on a journey. We're all on a journey of faith, and it takes us in different ways. You heard the scripture tonight. It's probably one of the most well-known, longer passages of scripture in all of history, certainly in the Bible, right after John 3:16, this Christmas story. And all these people were on a journey, right? We think of Mary and Joseph. Well, certainly they were on a journey, but their family was on a journey with Mary and Joseph, whether they liked it or not. All the people, just think about Mary and Joseph, and they were traveling to go take place in the census, and all the people they passed along the way, right? How many How many of you have watched any part of the Chosen miniseries? See, that kind of changes your perspective about how they traveled and they're passing each other on pathways and in the dirt out in fields. They were on a journey, all those people were. They were going someplace, and not just Mary and Joseph, but think about all the people at the inn. It's not just the innkeeper. Boy, that poor dude gets a bad rap. What about all the other people at the inn? Somebody there surely saw a pregnant mom that needed a place to stay, and they were like, nope, do not disturb. I'm not giving up mine, right? How many of y'all have not given up your seat on an airline for somebody that needed it? Oh, come on, every one of you that have ever flown, right? And we just go, no, I've got someplace to be. If I give up mine, what am I going to do, right? All on a journey. And if you don't know all of these names that I'm about to say, you just need to read chapters 1 and 2 of Luke. Zacharias, he was on a journey. Elizabeth, she was on a journey. All the people around them in the temple, all the people that were their friends and their family, they were on this journey with them. The people, the shepherds, they were on a journey. Caesar Augustus was on a journey. The question is, where were they going? The question is, where are we going? Do you see what I see? And it really is this idea of joy is with us. It's the wonder of it all at Christmas. Joy is with us. And the question is, do you see it? See, right now in your houses, there are Christmas trees of some sort. It might be the poor Charlie Brown Christmas tree, right? Just have presents somewhere. Maybe you have them in the closet waiting to take them to grandkids and whatever it is. But all those presents, they're wrapped. They have something in it that somebody wants or that you hope they want. But when you think about the miracles of Christmas, they're often wrapped in ways that we don't recognize. Or they're wrapped in ways I don't like. Because I think the way we want God's miracles are the way we want God's miracles. See, I want God's miracles, but I want them wrapped in the way I like. I want the right wrapping paper, I want the right bows, I want the right colors, I want it the way I want it. I want it presented to me the way I want to have it. See, that's not what really happens, because think about all the gifts that God has given you over time. And some of them are not really easy gifts to get. How many of y'all have prayed for patience at some point in your life? Yeah, that's the ugliest wrapped gift that God ever gave us, amen? I mean, it might be a friend, it might be a coworker, it might be a family member, spouses. At least one day every year, it's your spouse. Amen? Oh, come on. I'm the only one in trouble now. Thank y'all. No, I mean, we don't like to pray for patience because we know that we're going to have to get some patience. And somebody's going to test our patience. How about that idea of obedience? Boy, obedience can come in some of the hardest to open wrapping paper there is. It's kind of like obedience, I think, is a little bit like a gag gift. There's a great gift on the inside, but man, it's wrapped in paper, and then it's wrapped in duct tape, and then it's wrapped with some more paper, and then it's wrapped with more duct tape, and it's hard to get in. You have to work to get to it. Gifts are not always the way we want them to be. Sometimes just trusting in the Lord, like at Christmas. Just to trust that all of this is going to come to pass, that your future is going to come to pass, that your families are going to come to pass like you want, that your marriages, that your children, that your job. See, it may not be wrapped the way we want, because obedience wrapping is not near as pretty as self-reliance wrapping. Because the way I rely on myself, I can wrap that up really pretty. But it's not the same. See, Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and everybody else, it wasn't wrapped the way they thought it was going to be. But yet, there was a great miracle. There wasn't one person anticipating the Messiah coming as he did, but yet he is the one that was going to save us. He was going to be the child that was going to take away the sins of the world. See, Mary and Joseph, they could have had that baby and they could have done it all on their own, and he still would have been Jesus. But think of all the miracles that people would have missed out on. Think if the angels hadn't shown up, if God hasn't sent his messengers, if the Magi hadn't been there, and all the different things. See, I think our problem is that we want the results of God's promises the way we want the results of God's promises. Think about it. You've prayed for results. You've prayed for what you want. And then when it didn't quite turn out the way you wanted it to, maybe you thought it just didn't turn out. That's not how God works. Mary was visited by an angel and she was pregnant. Joseph was visited by an angel and took Mary as his wife, right? Go on down. They had a baby that was named Emmanuel, God with us. And as God was with us, and all these other people, because God was with them and was with all people, remember, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Not just a few. It's for everybody. Do you see what I see? Are you experiencing the miracles of God? I pray really tonight, even on this very night, that one of the miracles God would reveal to all of us, to all of you, to me, is that the miracle of God with us is not just a generic saying. That's the only thing I wish that there might have been a particular angel that came to somebody and said, okay, now remember to remind everybody, it's not just for humanity as a blanket statement, it's for you. God was thinking of you. Everybody always says Jesus was thinking of you while he was on the cross. Absolutely true. God was thinking of you when he sent the angel to Mary, to Joseph, to the shepherds. He was thinking of you. When he sent Jesus into the manger, he was thinking of you. From the very beginning, the miracle of God with us. Why would that be a miracle that he would reveal himself to you tonight as God with us? Maybe an angel's not going to show up at your house. I think that'd be fantastic if it would. I would really like it if one of you would be in the shower when the angel shows up. That would just be fantastic. Right? Why would that be such a miracle? Because think about it. God with us. I mean, that's wisdom's greatest mystery. Right? There's no amount of college, university, scientific research that can discover God with us. It's one of the greatest mysteries of all time, yet it's one of the greatest blessings. Natural reason cannot find it because it doesn't make sense. Our thought process can't discover it. How can Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, be the one that comes to save the world from their sins, but also now holds the keys to hell and death? How can that be even possible? God with us. God with us. You can't pray a prayer of any certainty with any passion without that name Emmanuel. You can't have a marriage that reflects the kingdom of God without the name Emmanuel. You can't raise children that will be godly children. You can't live a life that glorifies God. You can't be a pastor of any sort without God saying Jesus should be named Emmanuel. Because that's God with us. You can't live that life without that name. Yet we live our distracted lives, and not with an exclamation point after God with us. We live our lives as God with us with a question mark. We go, God with us? Then why is this? And why is this? And how is this? God with us? Even in the Old Testament, with that question mark, God was saying they were disobedient. They were disobedient because what did they do? It's because they were listening. They were hearing and they weren't listening. They were disobedient. This comes out of Ezekiel 12:2. They had eyes to see, but they didn't see it. They were looking, but they didn't see what was going on around them. And then Jesus said in Mark, he came back and he said it again. He goes, man, if you don't have Emmanuel, he didn't say it that way, but that's what he means. If you don't have God with you, if you don't have Emmanuel, you can look all day long and you will never perceive. You can hear all day long, but you will never understand. God with us, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. That's the hallelujah of heaven. That's the glory of the glorified. That's the eternal chorus of all the angels. Do you realize that what you have right now in this communion, in these elements of God with us, his sacrifice for us, Scripture says the angels yearn to hear it and to see it. The prophets looked for it forever. How do you think the Magi even figured it out? Because they were looking for hundreds and thousands of years. And we have it. But are you seeing and not perceiving? Are you looking and not finding? Do you see what I see? And here's what I see. I see a room full of miracles tonight. I see how God has changed your lives and he has been there. Do you see what I see in all the places where you have been, all the places where you have all these waypoints, these touch points, these family memories, these jobs, these areas where you've come to faith, where you've been to camp or you've been to a walk to Emmaus or somebody has spoken into your life or whatever it might be, a conversation maybe we had or maybe you had here or over coffee or whatever. I see the miracles in you. Do you see them? When you look in the mirror, when you get up in the morning, I pray that you will see the miracle of God inside of you that's just waiting to burst out of you because God with us, Emmanuel, is also to come out of you. Here's what I pray that would be the greatest miracle of your life is to stop looking at the baby as just being in the manger and start seeing him as God with you. Emmanuel. God with us. Because here's what's so great about Christmas. Here's what's so great about God with us is that we don't have to go look for him. We don't have to be the shepherds. We don't have to be the magi. We don't have to go search. All we have to do is say, Lord, I want to believe. Lord, will you come into my heart? Will you come into my life and make yourself known and make yourself present? Will you be the God with me for the rest of my life? That's the easiest part. Now, the journey, that's a little different. We could talk about that on a different day. The journey is different, but God with us is right now. God with us, Emmanuel. And in these elements, it's God with us. It's not the baby in the manger because, as I've always said, you can't get to Easter without the baby in the manger, and you can't have the baby in the manger without Jesus on the cross. You can't have any of that without the empty tomb and without the resurrection, and you can't have any of that without knowing the Holy Spirit in your life and him revealing God with us. And so tonight for communion, I want you to think about God being with you. I want you to think about him being in this very room. There's even a great hymn in this very room. But that's who he is. And that's what he wants you to believe. And that's what he wants you to understand is that he's here with us. And it's hard to reconcile in her head, even for me. I struggle with how all this works. It's going to be one of my first questions when I get to heaven. Is how did you put the baby in the manger knowing that he was going to sit with his disciples? Right? And he was going to tell them that this was his body that was broken for them. Can you imagine Mary's heart as a side note? When it talked about Mary was pierced to her very being and that Jesus would do that to all of the world. Can you imagine? But God said, this is how much I love you. this is how much I want you and I to be together. He said, this is my body which is broken for you. He said, do this in remembrance of me. And then when the supper was over, he took the cup and he poured it. And they knew what Jesus was supposed to say, by the way, because this was at a Passover dinner. They had a ritual. They had things they were supposed to say and supposed to do. And when he poured the cup, he was supposed to say something in particular. But what he said was, this is my blood of the new covenant. See, they were expecting what they expected. They were expecting the gift to be wrapped in the way that they wanted it to be wrapped. And Jesus said, no, no. This is my blood of the new wrapping. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of your sins. He said, as often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. It's crazy to think that the baby in the manger for us is wrapped in the body and the blood of Christ. Just for you. Just for you. So as you come tonight, ask God for forgiveness first. Thank him for your redemption, and then ask him to reveal himself to you as God with you. Father, I pray tonight that these would be the common elements of life that you have taken, the common elements, just like Matt Wolfington, just like Dallas Stevens, just like Morgan Parsley, just like, and you fill in your name, church, and you have taken us, you have taken these elements, and Lord, and you have made them holy, consecrated unto you. And so, Lord, we come tonight to feast on them with thanksgiving in our hearts for your sacrifice for us to be Emmanuel, God with us. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, all the people say, amen. Extinguish your candle. Remember, you're not putting out the light of Christ. You're taking it into your heart and into your mind, and you're taking it to the world. That's the job. Amen?
Amen.
That's the job. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, go take his light into the world to show his redeeming grace. And all the people say, amen. Amen. Merry Christmas.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.